My text is in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, the last but one book in the Old Testament. Zechariah and chapter 13 and verse 6. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Here's a verse from the Old Testament that points to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and talks about wounds. And I'm sure that every one of us here in the congregation here this morning would know what it means to be wounded. It's something that we can understand. There have been times when people will have said something to you or to myself, to any of us here, and it hurts us and we were wounded. We know what it means to have wounds that can be physical wounds, and we also know what it means to have wounds that can be wounds in our hearts. And then we also might say, yes, we can understand that verse as well, that if we were wounded by strangers, it does affect us, but not very deeply. But when we are wounded in the house of our friends, then we are deeply affected. Yes, we understand that verse. One shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then shall he answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. But however deep our wounds may have been in life, there are wounds on a higher level altogether. They are the wounds of the Son of God. Although we can relate to the idea and the understanding by the wounds that we sometimes suffer, yes, that leaves, it is left then and far away too, because the wounds of Christ are quite on their own. They are unique. These wounds change the history of a world. These wounds have changed the course of a nation. These wounds can change a man from being totally ungodly to being a godly and a spiritual person. These are rich and strange wounds. In Isaiah, they are spoken about like this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are familiar with that chapter that talks of the meaning of the wounds of Jesus Christ. There is a hymn that says, Rich wounds, yet visible above. And for a little while this morning, we'll examine the wounds of Jesus Christ. The first point then I have is just that title, the wounds of Christ, his wounds. The wounds of Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And it's put here in the form of a question in the text. As if somebody was standing back and speaking to him and saying, What are these wounds in thy hands? As if they could see there in the past, into the distant future, and looking into the hands that Thomas made such an inquiry about, looking into these hands and saying, Tell me, where did you get those marks? What are these wounds in thy hands? And then he answers, and he says, Those which I have, these wounds, are wounds which I received in the house of my friends. You might say, well, that is a strange thing. But we, knowing the whole of the scripture, could enlarge a little bit on that, and we'd be able to say from the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ came unto his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They didn't want him. And when you consider to be rejected, you've been rejected sometimes, and so have I. We all know in life what it means to be wounded. And we also know what it means sometimes to be rejected, and it is a painful thing. But when you think of the Lord of glory taking on the form of a servant, and that he is rejected, he came unto his own. People that knew that he was coming, people that had Isaiah 53 and the verse that I've read to you now, people that had prophecies, people that had been warned and had all these promises of the coming of the Messiah, yet his own received him not. Then there are other details. We find that Judas, one of the close friends of his, disciple, betrayed him, sold him, and gave him to his enemies. A terrible thing to do. His friend, one of his disciples, a person very close, you might have said, well, maybe one of the soldiers, maybe one of the Pharisees or the Sadducees could have come and found something about him and betrayed him. No, it was one of his disciples in the house of his friends. Then there was Peter, brave Peter, who said that he would give his very life for him, that he would never deny him. Yet it only took a young damsel for him to deny him a few times. And Peter belonged to the house of his friends. Here is Judas, and here is Peter. And apart from John, that's why I read John now this morning, apart from John, where did the others go? Where did Andrew go? And where did James go? Where did all these others go? They fled. They fled. They wounded him as they fled. Judas wounded him in his betrayal. Peter wounded him in his denial. Disciples wounded him in their fear, and they fled. And he was crucified. And he was crucified amongst his own people in the house of his friends. Now, why was he wounded? What are these wounds? What are they? In your own country, amongst your own friends, amongst your own disciples, what are these wounds? Well, they are special. They are wounds that he suffered for you and for me. In a very wonderful, remarkable way, they reach out to people like ourselves. And you see, now today isn't the only opportunity we have to preach the heart of the Christian faith. But it is a special opportunity when we can bring the very heart, because most days today it seems that we will talk around the cross, about the cross, but never the heart of the cross, where churches will be decorated with huge ornamental crosses and processions and I don't know what. And yet we'd almost plead and say, oh, tell me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high. It is with words, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will understand the meaning of these wounds. O sacred head, sore wounded with grief and shame, bowed down, how scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown, how pale art thou with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn, how does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn. So we have the fact of the wounds of Christ. He suffers there for us. It's one thing. There is something else here. The will of God. We go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he looked into the cup, which is a symbol of the responsibility of the meaning of the cross. And in that cup is all the representation of all the iniquity and our sin and the filth of what we are. And he looked at it and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So there is something here that includes our Savior, the will of the triune God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second point then is the will of God. We have there in time, yes, an event, a Savior wounded, but we have in eternity the will of God, and that's why that event takes place in time. There is a greater dimension here in eternity in the heart of God. There is a lovely Welsh hymn that I hadn't realized had been translated until a year or two ago, and it's in our hymn book. I'll read you one verse from it. Far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun, the moon, the stars were born. Salvation's way for sinners lost and done was counseled forth by God, the three in one. Listen to it. Far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before he created and said it was very good. What happened before then? Salvation. Salvation's way for sinners lost, undone, yet unborn, was counseled, planned, was counseled forth and set in motion by God, the three in one. The will of God regarding that event in time. Now we come to that event in time, and we are the creatures of time. I refer to wounds that we have from various reasons, for various reasons, sometimes disappointing, but we have other wounds. And these are the wounds that are the effect of the fall. The wounds that we have because of sin. We have those wounds. We all have them. I have been wounded by the fall when Adam fell, and I was born in sin. I was born a wounded creature, a tendency, a principle of sin. And then in my life and in your lives as well, how many times do we sin? And we show by doing that, that as we sin, we are showing more and more that we are wounded creatures, that we are creatures that have failed. And these wounds of sin that sin has inflicted upon us, we cannot hide them, we cannot cover them, we cannot heal them. So if I should say, well, yes, I have wounds that are caused by the sin of lies in my life, or the sin of cruelty, or the sin of immorality, or 101 other sins, and the wounds are all over my soul. And I try to hide my wounds by saying, I'll try and do my best, I'll try and cover this wound, and I'll travel and cover that wound, so in the sight of God, I will appear as if I had no sin, as if I had no wound. And here we are, we have so many, we are so deeply wounded by sin, we have no means of covering our wounds. So we come to the wounds of Christ. This is a strange thing. He was wounded so that we might be healed. There is healing in his wounds. What does he do? How many wounds has he? In this sense, the great sense. His hands, his feet, his side. Rich wounds, visible above. There's a physical death there. Or the Son of God, the Lord of glory. There is a physical death there. But there is more there. Gaze into that death. What does he cry? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why should he cry that? Because his death is a death of deaths. Because he suffered there the punishment that was equal to eternal damnation for us all, in its intensity and in its quality. Never was there such weight, never was there such sorrow, never was there such pain as the pain of Jesus on the cross. And so there we find that in his wounds and what he took upon himself for us, he does something. He meets our punishment. He pays our penalty. There is no need for anything decorative. Words are important, but not in word only, but with assurance and the Holy Ghost and with power. What are we saying? Telling you, telling your heart, here is a crucified Savior. Here is a Savior whose wounds are rich, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he met the wrath of God and paid the penalty in full. He is our substitute. He dies in our place. That is its meaning. And it was God's will. The way of peace. Lastly, Is there peace for me? Is there peace for you? That we might be able to say, Lord, I know I cannot hide my little wounds, by great wounds, all sorts of wounds, by my little gown of self-righteousness, or trying to deceive myself, or little scraps of religion, or some idea of morality, and I try to hide what I really am, I find at last that I must seek somebody else. And it is the Holy Spirit that leads us to Jesus Christ. He awakens us to our need. In verse 9 in this chapter, it says, they shall call on my name. Whose name? The name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We can challenge any major man-made religion in this world, whatever part of the world it comes from, however many people may adhere to it, however powerful its force may be, however vindictive its attitude may be, we're able to say whatever they say, they cannot say this. They cannot bring us to God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus Christ. We have what we call a revealed religion. He came. He lived. He died. He rose. And he is the Son of God. Where can I be helped? Where else? Where else? In our folly we go to different things and try broken systems. They shall call on my name, the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. A transaction takes place when I call upon the name of the Lord, knowing these things. He says, now you are my people, and they in return shall say, and this is my God. How do I find him? In verse 1 in this chapter, we have the cross described as a fountain. We have it in a hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. A source. The cross as a source of help. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Why do I need this gospel? Why can I not have a social Christ? Why can I have this kind of Christ or that kind? And there are many teachings in the full spectrum of the gospel, but I have not understood any of them if I have not understood the primary reason why he came. And that is, he came to cleanse me. He came to make me clean. It is a fount for sin and for uncleanness. Are you dirty today? Whoever you are, in your mind and in your heart and in your motives, are you unclean there today? Then here, many, many years ago, a fountain was opened in Calvary. A fountain, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, where does the blood come from? Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? What do I do? I come. How? As I am, shall I improve myself a little? We do not improve, we deteriorate. We come as we are, just as I am, sinful as I am. Where do I come? I come to him. When do I come? Now. With what do I come? With faith and with repentance. And faith is a gift that God gives the seeking soul. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living waters, thirsty one. And here we are, stoop down. Hurts our pride to admit we're sinful. Stoop down and drink and live and partake of this healing, healing sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are healed by the wounds of our Savior. We are equipped for glory. The cross, the world could never have done without the cross. And we could never survive in the sight of God without that intimate moment when we trust in Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. That's wonderful, you know. Past, present, future, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then, listen to it, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing the power to save. When this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Let us pray.